As I said in part one, as I researched these men of the Bible, a pattern sort of emerged. Now, it's not an exact pattern, it's not perfect in every way, but it seemed, as the Lord had it recorded, the Bible said all Scripture is God-breathed, that a good and not-so-good pattern, sometimes good and downright bad pattern, seemed to emerge. In other words, the Bible recorded that these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and I'm going to include Lot in this, even though he's not of the lineage of Israel in terms of God establishing his covenant, but he is included, as the Bible talked about Abraham, so I want to show that this pattern even existed for him. So as we start, I'm going to start off in Scripture here as we go. We're going to talk about Abram first. He was called Abraham later, so we'll call him Abram first, because that's what the Bible said his name was here. So we'll use this name of the Bible so we don't get confused about where we are in Genesis. But as we start off, something good about Abram was the fact that God told him to move away and leave his country and people and go to a place that the Lord was going to show him. And he did. He was obedient. He was 75, and he went into the land of Canaan. Something not so good. A famine came over the area, so Abram took his family and the people with him and went down into Egypt. Just for a little while, he wanted to live there, but he had to, in his mind, survive the famine, so he went down there. But when he got there, even though the Lord had already told him that he would be made into a great nation, that sort of, on the surface, commonsensically says that you're going to survive. I'm not going to allow anything to happen to you. Obviously, if you die, you're not going to father a great nation. But when he got down there into Egypt, he became afraid. So he told Sarai, who later be called Sarah, to tell everyone that she was his sister, so they wouldn't kill Abram because of her, because she was very beautiful. So she did. And Pharaoh's officials praised Sarai to Pharaoh. And because she said she was Abram's sister, Pharaoh took her as his wife. Now, because of this, Pharaoh gave Abram lots of possessions because of her, because he thought that's her brother. And to keep Sarai happy, Pharaoh wanted to make her brother happy. But, of course, Sarai was Abram's wife. So God struck Pharaoh with diseases, him and his household. And Pharaoh, when he discovered the deception, was very angry and asked Abram why you had done this. And, of course, he explained that he was afraid that they would kill him and take her. So Pharaoh sent him on his way, and as we move on in the Bible, we see that the next event that the Bible talks about, or the next section of Abraham's life, is with he and Lot, and the Lord had blessed both of them. They were very wealthy. In fact, they were so wealthy that the land couldn't support both of them, their herds and their flocks, so they had to separate. And Abram said to Lot, whichever way you go, I'll go the opposite. So Lot moved out into the plains of the Jordan and lived in Sodom. Now the king of Sodom and four other kings took on four other kings who came out to meet them in battle, and they were defeated. And the people of Sodom, including Lot, were all carried off into captivity. Abram heard about it. He rallied his servants, his fighting men with him, went and conquered the kings who had taken Lot, and Lot was rescued. Now the Bible talks about after this, right after this, that the king of Salem, Melchizedek, and once again, with these names, they're pronounced different ways on different websites. So we'll just call him Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem, which later is to be renamed Jerusalem. And he was priest of God Most High. And he came out and blessed Abram. And Abram gave him a tenth of all that he had. King James says he came out and gave a tithe. But we know, of course, in the Old Testament at least, the tithe was a tenth. After this, the Lord established a covenant. He said, don't be afraid. I'm your shield and your great reward. And Abram asked him, what can you do for me? I have no children. And the Lord said, you will indeed have an heir from your own body. Abram believed what God had said, that he would indeed give him an heir. And it was credited to him as righteousness because he had faith. However, once again in the not-so-good or bad category, after living in the land of Canaan for 10 years, Sarai told Abram to sleep with her Egyptian maidservant and start a family through her. Obviously, at this point, Sarai was having doubts that after 10 years, the Lord was going to do what the Lord said he would do. Well, Abram, for whatever reason, I don't know if he was having doubts or just to appease her, he did sleep with Sarai's maidservant. She became pregnant and gave birth to Ishmael. And it was foretold that he would be a wild man, and that his hand would be against every man, and every man's hand would be against him. And sure enough, we've had strife in the Middle East for thousands of years. Now, once again, the pattern continues. We go back to something good, as recorded in the Bible. When Abram is 99, God once again appeared to him and states that Abram will become the father of many nations, but not from Ishmael, but from a son born from Sarai. This is where the Lord changes Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. However, within this story, we see something bad. And that is, when he was told this, Abraham fell face down and laughed. And he said to himself, "How in the world is a son going to be born to a man 100 years old? And how will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So, by this time, he was definitely having doubts. Now, back to something good, as the Bible records it. Three visitors appeared to Abraham, and Abraham was told that the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that he was going to go down and look and see if what had been reported to him was true, and if so, he was going to destroy them. And Abraham, not having fear to speak with the Lord, he starts to do a little bargaining. He says, "Lord, would you kill the righteous with the wicked? What if there's 50 righteous people? Would you destroy it?" The Lord says, "No." Well, then he says, "What about 45? "Nope, not for 45. "What about 40? "Nope, not for 40. Abraham now is seems like he's getting a little bit nervous. He keeps asking the Lord, a little bit lower, a little lower. He says, "What about 30? "Not if I find 30. "What about 20? "Not if I find 20 righteous people." Finally, he says, "Lord, if there's 10 righteous people, will you destroy the city?" And the Lord says, "No." So Abraham actually pleads for the righteous. Now, of course, more than likely, it's because Lot and his family lived there. Abraham didn't want to see his nephew destroyed, but that's a wonderful thing that as his uncle, he cared that much about his nephew, that he wanted the Lord to protect him. Of course, we know how the story went. Lot and his family were indeed saved, although his wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed. She wasn't supposed to look back. None of them were. And things then went downhill for Lot, even though he's saved. I won't go into that now because I'm actually going to go into this pattern with Lot later. But the Lord did indeed love Lot. He did indeed listen to Abraham, and he did indeed save the righteous. He didn't let them die with the wicked. Now, once again, the pattern goes back to bad. Now, after this, Abraham moved on, and he stayed in Gerar. And there was the king there, Abimelech. And once again, what does he do? He says, "This is my sister, not my wife." And Abimelech sees her, and she's beautiful, and takes her. But this time, before anything could happen with Sarah, God appeared to Abimelech in a dream and warned him. And Abimelech confronted Abraham about what he had done, and Abraham told him why he had done it. And Abimelech brought flocks and servants and gave them to Abraham. And Abraham prayed for the king, and God once again allowed his women in his household to have children. So obviously they had been struck. They were barren. So Abraham doesn't seem to have the faith when he goes into these other regions. Now we go back in the pattern to good. Isaac is born, and Abraham circumcises him as God had commanded. And now God's lineage of the Israelites has been established as he had promised 25 years earlier. But on the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. Sarah saw Ishmael mocking, so she said to Abraham that Hagar and Ishmael should be cast out, and Abraham agreed, and they were. Now, for the sake of Abraham, the Lord made Ishmael into a great nation. Unfortunately, the descendants of Isaac and Ishmael have been fighting ever since. We go back to good, and Abraham is tested. Now, there's some debate as to what age Isaac was, but the Lord tells Abraham to take your son and sacrifice him. So Abraham takes Isaac to the mountains, takes him to where the Lord said, and most people know the story. He ties up his son and raises the knife to slay him, and God stops him. And the Lord says, "Now I know that there is nothing that you would keep from me." So Abraham, thinking that the Lord really did want him to slay his son, was willing to do what the Lord had commanded him. So we see throughout Abraham's life that he did some things that he shouldn't have done. But overall, God called him a righteous man because when the Lord called upon him, he was obedient. It seemed that Abraham had his flaws when he moved around when he didn't call on the Lord, but sort of took things into his own hands. That's when fear and doubt sort of took over. But once again, the Lord looks at the good. You see the pattern, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Again, this is how it's recorded in the Bible. There were many other, I'm sure, smaller things. The Bible does not record every day of his life, so we don't know if this pattern is exact the whole time. But as recorded in the Bible, we see that Abraham is certainly not a perfect man. But he was an obedient man. And because of this, the Lord blessed him, the Lord loved him, and through him, God fulfilled his purpose of starting the nation of Israel. So don't be afraid if you fail. You're going to. Your sinful nature will push you to do things that you don't want to do. But just remember, be obedient to the Lord, and he will consider you righteous.